بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وقائد مسيرتنا، العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to welcome you all to another night in the hospitality of our great Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As we are journeying throughout his school, his university, learning from this man, from this great hero of Islam, how to live our Islam and how to conduct the best moral example that a Muslim can ever conduct. Tonight I would like to speak about a very important subject, that is extremely related to the theme of Ashura. And the subject that I'm going to talk about would explain a very important concept that we Muslims embrace. And that is the concept of jihad. Jihad, It is a great Islamic concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had introduced to us through the Quran and through the sayings of the Prophet and his family. Unfortunately, the meaning of jihad has been misinterpreted, greatly misinterpreted. It had become one of the major misconceptions about the religion of Islam in this country, especially if you live in the West. The word jihad means, unfortunately, to many people's mind, terror or violence, killing innocent people, suicide bombings, and so on and so forth. While jihad has a very holy meaning and a very noble one, first of all, I have to explain that there are many forms of jihad. And I'm going to go, as much as the time allows, I'm going to go through some forms. But probably the most important one is al-jihadu ma'an nafs, to struggle with yourself. Jihad originally means to struggle. And originally it was referred to be one of the means that a Muslim can eradicate his own weaknesses. One of the methods that a Muslim can overcome his own shortcomings before Allah and before himself. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this very complex mind, the human mind, the human soul. It's so complex. It has been filled with contrary desires and inclinations. You see, you find a person, at the same time that he expresses noble inclinations, yet this same person, the same individual, have the potential to be a wicked person, to be deviant. Allah had given this ability to all human beings, that they can be conforming or they could be deviant. Animals don't have this ability. Other creatures don't have this ability. But it is the human being that has this ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this fact. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورًا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah swears with the human soul. He takes oath with the human soul. وَنَفْسٍ, and the soul, and that has created it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا. Allah taught the soul, the human soul, فُجُورَهَا, what causes its downfall, وَتَقْوَاهَا, and also Allah taught the human soul what brings her to happiness, the moral happiness, the eternal happiness. Allah taught us and instilled in us both directions. We can take this direction or that direction. He showed us both the path of hell and path of heaven. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in the Quran how to overcome the deviant soul, how to be much more powerful than that soul, how to control it, and which is a very difficult job to perceive, a very difficult thing to do. And that's why the Prophet says, أعظم الجهاد جهاد النفس. The best jihad, the best struggle, is that to struggle with yourself, to overcome yourself. Before you overcome your own enemies, you overcome yourselves. First, overcome yourself. Then try to overcome the society. First, try to change yourself. Jesus gives a very beautiful tip how a person can change the society. We all love to change the society, the way we perceive. But he says there is a very essential condition to do that, and that is to change yourself. Change yourself first. Then try to change the society. And if you're able to change yourself, then you will be able to change those who are around you. If you can influence yourself, you can influence others. But if you fail to influence yourself, you fail before the power of the soul, then you will absolutely fail when it comes to others. You cannot conquer others. Conquer yourself first. Conquer your mind first. Then try to conquer others' minds. That is the most powerful lesson a Muslim would learn. That in order to change the society, start with yourself. That would be your first step. And in many verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that fact. Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And for those who fear the position of their Lord. What is the position of my Lord? The Lordship. He is my Lord. He is my God. Those who fear the position of their Lord and restrain themselves from hawa, from prohibited desires, then فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then garden will be the abode for them, for those people who are able to restrain their desires and their mind and their shortcomings. For those people, garden has been designated for. So, in the Quran, in the Islamic literatures, we find that there are few forms of jihad. But the most important one is to start with yourself. Struggle with yourself. How to struggle with yourself? Let me give you a few examples. How a person would struggle himself with himself. And let me bring a few examples from history, the very history that we are commemorating those days, from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I mentioned two stories, two contrary stories. One belongs to a man who succeeded in overcoming his soul, and one for one who failed. For the one who succeeded in that great obligation, jihad al-nafs, is al-Hur. Probably you have heard about this man, al-Hur. Al-Hur was a commander in Yazid's army. And he was the first commander who met with Imam Hussein. He was heading 1,000 soldiers. And his task was to block Imam Hussein from going to Kufa. If you read in the history, Imam Hussein left Mecca, he was heading apparently to Kufa, which was the capital of Islam during the time of Imam Ali. Imam Ali moved from Medina and he chose Kufa to be his capital. And therefore, Kufa historically was the stronghold of the Shia. And most followers of Imam Hussein come from this city, Kufa. And that's why Imam Hussein dispatched his cousin, Muslim, to Kufa to take the oath of allegiance to Imam Hussein. So when Imam Hussein arrives to Kufa, then he will be able to solicit support from the people in Kufa, and then he can continue his uprising against the Umayyad oppression. But while Imam Hussein was heading to Kufa, he was encountered with a convoy of 1,000 soldiers headed by a leader, a commander, and a high officer, a high-ranking officer in Yazid's army called Al-Hur. Al-Hur was a good man. In general, he was a noble person. And he respected Imam Hussein deeply because he knew who Imam Hussein was. He knew that Imam Hussein is the grandson of Rasulullah. He is the grandson of the Prophet of Allah. Although that he was an employee in this anti-Hussein government, he was a high-ranking officer, but he wasn't so hostile against Imam Hussein. He was obligated by his bosses, which is Yazid and Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad, wherever he finds Imam Hussein, he arrests Imam Hussein and he takes him to Damascus. When he met with Imam Hussein, that was his mission, to arrest Imam Hussein and take him as a war prisoner to Damascus, to Yazid. Imam Hussein refused. And Imam Hussein said to him, if you want to do that, I will fight you. I'm not going to allow you to do that. Then there was a compromise that Imam Hussein would not go to Kufa, nor he goes to Damascus. He wanted to go to Kufa, so he's not going to go to Kufa, nor he would go to Damascus. Hur says, we will stay in this land, which was Karbala, near Karbala, till someone else takes the command. I'm not going to take the command. And then later on, Umar ibn Sa'd was appointed to be the new commander, and he decided to wage the war against Imam Hussein. In the day of Ashura, when Hur now have become a sub-commander in that big army. He was heading an army of 1,000 people. Now the army got so larger. It is almost around 18,000 people. Now he is not the chief commander of this army, rather he is a sub-commander. In the day of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was giving a sermon, speaking to people, warning them, trying to wake them up. Unfortunately, nobody woke up. Nobody woke up. They were in such deep sleep that nobody woke up. Imam Hussein gave 7 powerful sermons on the day of Ashura. It didn't move any of those people. And Imam Hussein explains why. Why none of them woke up. Imam Hussein says, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. You know what the word استحوذ mean in Arabic? استحوذ, when someone is surrounded from all direction by something, it is called مستحوذ. When you put something, a piece of coin in your pocket, it is called مستحوذ. Because from all direction you're surrounding this piece of coin in your pocket. That no way this piece of coin can be dropped. Imam Hussein says, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Shaitan had surrounded them from all corners. That there is no way at all for my maw'adha, my preaching to penetrate their mind and their heart. They are so obsessed and so possessed by the devil that there is no way for them to wake up at all. At all. They are so possessed by Shaitan. Only one man, and that's Hur. Hur, he woke up. His associate, Hur's associate, his name is Al-Muhajir. He says, I saw Hur shaking, his body is shaking and shivering in the day of Ashura. I thought that he is getting this paranoia, war paranoia. Soon the war will be waged. And he cannot take it. He cannot take this pressure. So I came to him. Muhajir says, I approached Hur and I asked him this question. I said to him, Hur, لو قيل لي من أشجع أهل الكوفة لما عدوتك. If I am asked who is the most courageous man in Kufa, I would say it is you. What is it that I'm seeing now? You're shivering. You're shaking up. You're so scared. We're 18,000 people. And Hussein has only 72 companions. And you're so terrified to meet them. What a coward. He says, no, you're wrong. I'm not shivering because I'm afraid from Hussein. I'm afraid from the war. I'm not shaking up because I'm scared to fight. All my life I fought. I'm an army commander. He was in his late 60s. I'm an army commander. That I spend most of my life fighting. No. I'm not afraid at all from fighting. The reason you see me, I'm shivering and I'm shaking up, لأني أخير نفسي بين الجنة والنار. Because I can see heaven and I can see hell now before me. I can see that I am with all the privileges I have, with the all prestige I have, with the all wealth I have. I feel I am in hell. This camp that I belong to, this is the hell's camp. And I see that heaven. I see hell. Hussein is with heaven, and heaven is with Hussein. And my camp that I am in, it is the camp of hell. That is the camp of the righteous. And this is the camp of the devil. I see that. I cannot fool myself with this. I can see it. Obviously, he was going through a very strong emotional crisis. From one side, the privileges, the adornment of this life, the adornment of his own privileged life would motivate him would ask him, would urge him to stay where he is and to engage himself in killing Imam Hussein. He was making this very hard and difficult calculation that many people fail to do. He was thinking, should I stay with my privileges, wealth, prestige, or, and yet, I would be doomed in my hereafter by killing Imam Hussein? Or I would join to choose this man, the man who will physically be soon defeated by our army. But I know he will win the war. He will win his hereafter, and if I join him, I will win my hereafter. Now I ask you this question. If something like this happens today to you, to me, what do we do? We are in a place where our privileges, our personal interests require that we go against our religion, our akhir, our hereafter. What do we do? Most people fail to choose akhir because life and its privileges is so tempting for us that we barely can make that decision. And the proof to that is another man, Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd was a cousin to Imam Hussein, not close cousin, far cousin. Umar ibn Sa'd was summoned by Ibn Ziyad to lead the army against Imam Hussein, the 18,000 soldiers. In other words, to wage the war eventually against Imam Hussein. And he was a retired general in the army. He was summoned. You know, there was a brief conversation took place between Umar ibn Sa'd and Ibn Ziyad, the regional governor of Iraq, appointed by Yazid. Umar ibn Sa'd asks Ibn Ziyad, if I accept this position to be the commander of the army against Hussein, what do I get instead? He says, first of all, we pay all your debt. We pay all your debt. 400,000 dirhams. We will pay them. Number two, we will appoint you to be the regional governor of Iran, Tehran, the capital of Iran, Ray. He goes home. He says, give me some time till tomorrow, till I make up my mind. And after spending one night, he has a conversation with himself. What to do? Should I go? And it is mentioned in some Arabic poetry that he authored. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي وَإِنِّي لَحَائِرٌ أُفَكِّرُ فِي أَمْرِي عَلَى خَطَرَيْنِ. He says, I don't know what to do. I'm extremely hesitant because I'm about a huge, essential, crucial intersection in my life. From one side, I am asked to be the governor of Iran. What a tempting position for me. أَتْرُكُمُ الْكَرَّيِّ وَالْرَّيُّ مُنِيَتِي. All my life I have dreamt to be the ruler of Iran. أَتْرُكُمُ الْكَرَّيِّ وَالْرَّيُّ مُنِيَتِي. أَمَرْجُعُ مَأْثُومًا بِقَتْلِ حُسَيْنِي. But the problem, if I want to be the governor of Iran, I have to kill Hussein. And that's a difficult thing to do. Hussein ibn Ammi. Hussein is my cousin. He is the grandson of Rasulullah. So I don't know what to do. Should I choose my hereafter or my world, my materialistic world? I don't know what to do. I'm so hesitant. And finally, the shaitan helps him to make up his mind. He says, fine, I will go. I will kill Hussein. يقولون إن الله خالق جنة ونار وغل وتعذيب وغل يدين. They say that Allah had created a hell and heaven. I'm not sure. They say that Allah had created a hell and heaven and torture in hell. If they are honest, before I die, 2 years prior to my death, I will repent after killing Hussein. And if they are lying, then there is nothing to be worried about, even if I kill Hussein. And he finally chooses to be the commander. Imam Hussein meets with him in the day of Ashura. Listen to this. Imam Hussein meets with Umar ibn Sa'd. Before the war starts, Imam Hussein summons him. He says, Umar, I want to talk to you for a few minutes before the war starts. I know that the Umayyad dynasty, they tempted you with this. I know. But why you did this? Why you did this? He says, because they paid all my debt. Imam Hussein says, I will pay your debt. Will you relinquish them? I will pay your debt. He says, I have 4 daughters to marry, and I cannot afford that. Imam Hussein says, I will afford that. I will offer you that. I will help you finding husbands for your daughters, and I will pay all the expenses. He says, if I join you, they will demolish my house. Imam Hussein says, I will rebuild it for you. He was embarrassed to say, I cannot relinquish the idea of becoming the governor of Iran. He says to Imam Hussein, leave me alone. I have to fight with you. Imam Hussein says to him, you have to fight with me? مَا لَكَ يَبْنَ سَعْدْ قَطَعَ اللَّهُ رَحِمَكَ كَمَا قَطَعْتَ رَحِمِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ تَحْفَظْ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَصَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مَنْ يَذْبَحُكَ فِي فِرَاشِكَ. As you are not disrespecting my relationship with my grandfather, you are not regarding my relationship with my grandfather, I hope that Allah would not regard you at all. And as you are fighting with me and you're willing to kill me, I ask Allah to send someone to kill you so you would become a theme, a lesson for all other oppressors. And I ask Allah and I pray to Him that you would never be able to achieve your dream. And this is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. He was sleeping at home when a few rebels came into his house and they slaughtered him before he can achieve his dream. Now go back to Hur. Hur, he won. He lost probably 2 more years if he had lived. If he would not have been killed in the day of Ashura. Because he was already in his late 60s. How long he can live? But what did he win? He won his year after. He won our hearts. That was his jihad, to make that decision. And he, Muhajir says, after seeing him so shivering, shaking up, and after he told me that I see myself, I'm between hell and heaven, Hamaza Farasah, he wrapped the neck of his horse towards Imam Hussein's camp. Now everybody was shocked. Is this crazy? A man who has everything. People were jealous and envious of his ranking. All other commanders were envious of him. Now he is relinquishing all of this and going with Hussein. Everybody knows Hussein will be defeated soon and he will be killed. No, Yazid was not, Hur was not insane. Hur was very smart. Believe me, he was very smart. That was his test and his jihad. He came to Imam Hussein. He lowered his head. He was so embarrassed from Imam Hussein for what he did to Imam Hussein. He lowered his head so much so that Imam Hussein was not able to distinguish him, to recognize him. He came to Imam Hussein and he says, يا ابن رسول الله هل ترى لي من توبة؟ Before anything, he asked Imam Hussein, Oh, the son of Rasulullah, can you find me a way? Can you fix me up? I'm seeking repentance to Allah. Can you find me a way that I can fix myself with Allah? Imam Hussein says, Man and, who are you? He was not able to raise his head before Imam Hussein. He says, Sayyidi, أنا الذي جعجعت بك وببنياتك وحبستك عن الطريق. I was the one who blocked your way to Kufa. I was the one who caused all this anguish to you. I was the one who brought you here to this land, to this desert of Karbala. I caused you all this distress and agony. I'm so sorry for this. I'm so remorseful for what I have done to you. Tell me, would Allah forgive me after all I have done to you? Our noble Imam, our great Imam, the man who never practiced hatred, never knew what hatred is, the man who was all about love and affection, the man who cried for his own enemies, he turns to him and he says, Naam, naam. إن تبت تاب الله عليك. Yes, of course. If you seek repentance, Allah will absolutely forgive you. He will absolutely forgive you. Of course, Allah will forgive you. Come in, come in. Come and join my camp. He says, No, يا ابن رسول الله, I'm not going to come in. I will stay on my horse. Because as a retribution to my sins and for harassing you, I want to be the first martyr today in your camp. I want to be the first one who will be martyred before you. So you testify for me in the day of judgment that I did my best with you and I repented to Allah. So please give me a permission. I don't want to come down and take a break. I just want to go and fight those people. Please give me a permission. Imam Hussein says, fine. If you insist on a permission to fight them, go and fight them. He fought till he was overwhelmed. When he was overwhelmed, he calls upon Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That was the tradition. That each shaheed, before he dies, before he leaves, he would call his leader, Imam Hussein, so he can have Imam Hussein next to him, next to his body when his soul is being received by the angels of Allah. He wanted to fill his eyes from the scene of his beloved Imam sitting next to him. He wanted to make sure that Imam Hussein was fully satisfied with him. He wanted to make sure that his Imam did bless him before he leaves. So he says, عَلَيْكَ مِنِّي السَّلَامِ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Listen to this, عَلَيْكَ مِنِّي السَّلَامِ. Usually when we say salam, we say assalamu alaykum. But they say, people when dying, that is their salam. They don't say assalamu alaikum. They say alayka minni salam. When someone was dying, he would not greet Imam Hussein by saying assalamu alaikum. Rather, he would say alayka minni salam. Meaning, I'm dying. I want you to rush to me now. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to him while he was passing away. Imam Hussein sits next to him. And they say Imam Hussein with his gentle hand, with his gentle gesture, he removes the dust and the blood from his face. And since he was so bleeding, Imam Hussein took a cloth and he tied it on his head so he may help him stopping the bleeding in his head. And then Imam Hussein says a few beautiful words to him. He says, أنت حر في الدنيا. You're حر. You were حر. You weren't a slave. Hur means free. Hur means free. Imam Hussein said, you were truly hur. You were not a slave to those people. You are a hur. You chose to live free and to die free. And you refused to enslave yourself to the Umayyad dynasty, to Yazid. You lived a very free life. And you died as a free, not as a slave. أنت حر في الدنيا. You're hur, you're free in this life. وسعيد في الآخرة. You will be the winner in hereafter. This is my testimony for you. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. سلام الله عليك أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار.